Amen. That was nice and loud. Good evening, everybody. It is really great that we can be here together like this, isn't it? It's fantastic. We've been hoping and praying about this for a good while, so finally we've got together in this way. Worship on the front line. What a fantastic and such an important subject to think about. It's a vast subject. And of course, as we've seen, we all have very different lives, different places where God has put us. But we're going to think for the next 10 minutes or so, specifically about the subject of work and how where we are working, be it paid work or not, can be a place where we can honor God, put him number one, and worship him. Let's put something up on the oh no, I won't put it up on the screen quite yet. Here's a, don't know how you think about work, how you think about your work. A couple of years ago, a Gallup poll in the United States showed that 85% of people, when asked anonymously, hated their jobs. Last week, a major UK employer, hopefully this will come up, in a minute, doesn't matter if it doesn't. Last week, a major UK employer said it was thinking of reducing its working week to 4 days. It'd be the first major UK employer to do it if it does. And maybe the thought of that makes you think, hooray, what a brilliant idea. You see, for so many people, the best thing about work is the weekend, isn't it? You work for the sake of the weekend. Now, the thing is, there's a Christian version of that kind of attitude, which is, it's all about our Christian service. It's all about what we do for church, or what we do when it's overtly and clearly Christian. And work is just some sort of unfortunate necessity that we have to go through, but it's not what it's really all about. And yet, despite thinking about work like that, on the other hand, we greatly value our jobs, don't we? You know, what do you do? That's often the second question you ask someone when you meet them, isn't it? And if we feel our job is going well, we feel great. But if we feel it's going badly, it can have massive self-esteem, a massive self-esteem impact for us, can't it? Well, the Bible passage we're going to look at in just a minute it's got a great message for us. I'm going to sum it up like this, that God wants to rescue your work so that it is about worshipping him. God wants to rescue your work so that it's about worshipping him. As we've been seeing tonight, if we belong to Christ, then all of our life is for him. And we're going to Colossians chapter 3, page 1184 in the Church Bible, just in front of you. And hopefully, something might come up on the screen. Have you got the slides there? They're not coming out. Doesn't matter. We will cope without the slides. It means you've got to look at the Bibles a bit more, which is a good thing, rather than looking up at me, look down at the Bible. Colossians chapter 3, page 1184. And have a look at this one verse, verse 17 of chapter 3. And when I hear the papers are not rustling, then I know you're there, just about. Okay, still a little bit of rustling. Let me read verse 17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. There is whole life worship for you. Whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the next few sentences in Colossians there, you've got how whole life worship affects family life for a few verses. And then down in verse 22 and onwards, it's about work. So let me just read out these sentences a bit more from verse 22. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Now, of course, back in the Roman Empire, a huge amount of work was done by slaves. Work was often seen as demeaning in that culture. If you think your job is bad, just be grateful you're not a Roman slave. Now, what is the message of the gospel then, coming into the context of slavery? You see, if being a Christian is nothing, is it? If it's not about being saved, about being redeemed, about freedom. So how does this message of redemption and freedom impact work? Well, it's surprising, because it's not about being set free from work. You see, Genesis actually teaches right at the beginning that we are created as workers. We're meant to work. Rather, what you've got here is a vision of our work being set free to be for God. And we can see a couple of things from these sentences that we can take to heart. And if they do, they will transform our work. Couple of things to remember. First, remember who you are working for. And second, remember what you are working for. So first, who you are working for. Christians are told here, obey in everything your earthly boss. Did you hear that right? Did you hear that right, Polly? Catherine? I'm loving this. This sounds, doesn't it, like becoming a Christian will make your slavery even more intense. That sounds strange, doesn't it? Sounds like it'll make your work harder, more devoted. Paul says, work not just to win the boss's favor, but also when the boss isn't there, with real sincerity of heart. This is completely different to how so many of us work. Many people do enough in their job to keep the boss happy, to keep in the good books, while the boss's eye is on them. I can remember when I used to work as a junior doctor, when the consultant was on the ward, you could see the difference. Everyone scurried around, diligently getting on with the tasks that were there. But when the consultant went out, everything was different. But if we only work hard when our boss is present, we are men pleasers, aren't we? So what is it that's going to make Christians work differently? If we've been rescued to belong to Christ, then it also means our work has been rescued to belong to him as well. All of us is for him, which is why Paul can say in 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Two people are working hard in an office, and at first sight they may look like the same, but scratch the surface and one is working to please other people and to glorify themselves, and the other one is working for Jesus. The motivation is entirely different, and over time the difference will be noticed. If you are working for Jesus, then you will be able to be trusted when your earthly boss's eye is not on you, because you know Jesus' eye is always on you and you belong to him, and deep down in your heart you want to serve him. Now, I'm told, I can't back this up with facts, I'm told that in the Roman world, Christian slaves were worth more money because they worked better, because Jesus changed them like that. Now, Christians are not guaranteed success in work, but if we work with all our hearts, for the Lord, not for men, then our experience of work will be transformed. So tomorrow morning, when the boss gives you a new task for the week, remember who is standing behind the boss. Remember who your real boss is. When you see your boss with your eyes, think your real boss that you can't see is the Lord Jesus himself. And then even the most menial task can become worship. No doubt many have heard this story that Billy Graham's, the great evangelist, his sink had a sign over it. His washing up sink had a sign over it saying, "Divine service conducted here 3 times a day. Even slavery can become worship. And if that can, then anything else we may have to do can be. So remember who you are working for. And then second, more briefly, remember what you are working for. I think it was just over a year ago, we were heading on holiday down to the West Country, and we stopped at a service station, and there was this classic Lamborghini there at the petrol pump. And the boys got out the car and sort of gaped at it, and so did I, if I'm honest. And the owner quite enjoyed the attention that we were all giving to it. And he came up to us and he said to the boys, who were only, you know, sort of five at the time, five and three, I think they were. And he said, "If you work hard, you can have one of these." I thought it was quite a good line, actually, quite a good line. If we want wealth and riches and reputation, well, if we work hard, and in this part of the world where we're so blessed materially, we may well get them. But that is all you'll get. Remember Princess Leia speaking to Han Solo in the first Star Wars? If money is all you want, then money is all you'll get. And one day, we will lose it all. Now, the Bible is clear. Money is not a bad thing. It's a good thing if it's used rightly. But there's something far better to work for, an eternal inheritance. Did you see that there down in verse 24? Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. There's something far better to work for. Our reward is not a great end-of-year bonus, but something that can neither spoil nor fade, which is kept in heaven for us. We live in a society that is bereft of hope, isn't it? So much hopelessness. You'll see it tomorrow morning if you get on the tube. The glum, hopeless faces all around you. But we really have hope, as Adrian was saying. We know what we are really living and working for. You can, if you really literally sort of translate this verse, it says, you will receive the reward of the inheritance. What's the inheritance? It's the eternal life with Christ. The reward is heaven. The reward is the Lord himself welcoming us and saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Come into my kingdom. Now, he's not saying here, let's just make sure we're not getting this wrong. He's not saying you can earn your way to heaven. That would contradict the whole message of this book, this letter. And anyway, if you think about it, an inheritance actually is not something you earn, is it? It's a gift. It's a gift we don't deserve. And yet, when we work in this life, Jesus does promise that we will be rewarded for serving him. And he talks about being given responsibilities in the life to come. If you work and are faithful now, you'll be given responsibilities in heaven. And then the work that we will all be doing will be great work, glorious work that has none of the frustrations that we have now. We will be the workers God created us to be, fully and totally set free from all the frustrations of this fallen world. So remember what you are working for, the glorious inheritance. So when you open up that next payroll statement, if you still receive payrolls, look at what you've got there and think what is behind it is a far greater and better reward. That is really, I hope, the thing that is motivating you, the eternal inheritance of your real master Jesus. Well, this teaching of Paul is revolutionary. It's not revolutionary in the way we often think about it. It's not like he's saying, like, you know, like Spartacus got all the slaves to uprise. It's not that kind of revolution. Christian faith ends slavery in a much more subtle way by undermining the very institution itself, by transforming the work that a slave does into worship. Isn't that an amazing thing? Transformed into worship. Don't we need this message today? I certainly do. I'll be honest with you. When I sat down to prepare to speak this message early in the week, I thought, I don't feel like doing this. I really didn't feel like doing it. You know, ministers can get fed up as well. But the wonderful thing about these verses, as I read them, I thought, this is exactly what I need at this moment in time to motivate me to do this work. This is exactly what you need, what all of us need for our work. It is a wonderful, liberating teaching. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, We've not actually said anything, I've not said anything tonight about witnessing to Jesus with the great news that others have been talking about. This passage doesn't speak directly about it, but here's the thing. If we have our work rescued and transformed in the way that Paul is speaking about, I bet you will find more opportunities come to speak of the hope that you have in Jesus, and your life will be more compelling, a witness to that message that I hope and pray. You will have the courage to speak, as our wonderful interviewees have talked about tonight. God wants to rescue our work so that it is about worshiping him, and that will have wonderful benefits now, for others, for our community, and for all eternity. Let's pray this week and beyond for that. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the message of the gospel and how it liberates us and transforms our work, that it may be worship for you. Lord, please help us. Please transform us this week with your eternal power. Thank you for this word that we've looked at tonight. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will take this word into each of our hearts, Lord, and that you will transform us and use us here to worship you on all of our different front lines. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. So much.